You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome in. It is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Coming your way on a sunny Thursday here in Eastern Iowa. Welcome aboard, Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, and Andrew, all with you here today as we got a lot to cover over the next 55 minutes or so as we take you up through the 3 o'clock hour. Spencer on Sports follows us from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this afternoon. We'll talk a little bit more Iowa basketball, continue our discussion from yesterday. Where is the state of this program and how can it be improved? We'll talk about that. We'll look back at Iowa's win last night at the Alaska Airlines Arena in Seattle. The Iowa women with a big win on the road over the Washington Huskies. We'll talk about that, and then Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us as we will have our Thursday Off the Glass segment, which is, as always, brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. We will have that coming up and more on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. Same digits, 319-366-1600. As we come your way on this Thursday on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And as always, if you miss any of our shows or just want to go back and listen to them again because they were that darn good, you can do so by going to our website at kgymradio.com, Apple, or Spotify. Andrew, a pleasant good afternoon to you. I think you're over there.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
dark.
In the dark. Yep. Yeah, it's so bright outside. I think it's fitting to be in the dark.
I don't mind a bright day.
I usually don't, but with the reflection off of the snow, I'm like, no, it's too bright for me.
It's blinding. It's a sunglasses day.
Mm-hmm.
If you're driving out there, and please do it well.
Yes, do it safely.
Mark Dukes, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And yeah, the sun never bothers me. I love it. Inching towards 20. We're all good.
It's all good. Going to get warmer over the weekend, which is very, very good news, especially if you're plunging into, you know, maybe a slightly below freezing temperature like some people will be on Saturday down in Iowa City, or Coralville, to be more exact on that. 319-366-1600. Iowa women back on the winning side of things on the ledger as they get their third Big Ten win, 13th on the year last night, as they defeat the Washington Huskies on the road. Iowa got off to a fast start. What's new? Led 50-26 at halftime. Improved that margin in the third quarter and then played a lot of folks in the fourth quarter. And if anybody needed a laugher, it was the Iowa women. But I think anybody in Iowa City right now that could use a laugher, and the women got one last night.
They certainly did. Really a palate cleanser for the women after five straight losses. Didn't want to get six and set a program record. But they did everything right offensively, made 14 straight shots at one point, 72% field goal percentage for the game. You're not going to lose too many games in that regard. And Lucy Olson got going, and O'Grady had a good game. And now the Hawks are off till next Tuesday, and perhaps that'll give Hannah Stuckey time to continue recovering from her concussion, which is David Eichholt reported and talking to Hannah's mom at the game, said it was a result of a kind of a whiplash situation in that Nebraska game.
Yeah, it's been festering for a while. And we all know if you're in sports, you cannot take concussions lightly at any time. And best thing for Hannah was to sit out again last night, did, and hopefully a little bit of a break Thursday, 5 days now before the next ball game. and hopefully she'll be A-OK and ready to go. But everybody stepped up. Like you mentioned, it doesn't matter if it's Salvation Army ball or the NBA or the WNBA. You shoot 72% from the field and 69% from beyond the arc, you're probably going to win. And you're probably going to win going away. And that's exactly what Iowa did. Good to see Addie O'Grady have a good game. 17 points. Lucy Olson, as you mentioned, needed it. She was perfect from the field. She had 20 points. Tegan Milani off the bench with 7. The bench, I believe, had 26 points in that game. 22 points last night for Iowa. Sydney Folter, not a lot of scoring, but did Sydney Folter things, certainly. And like I said, it was just what the doctor ordered for Jan Jensen and the Hawkeyes.
And I could have used a few more of those made shots against Oregon. Really a tough loss, but credit the Iowa women for bouncing back, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, 3-6 now in the Big Ten Conference. So that's good news for the Iowa women. The Iowa men could also use a laugher. I don't know if they will get it tomorrow or not, as the Penn State Nittany Lions will come into Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City. That's an 8 o'clock tip-off with Ace Baldwin and company coming in. A Penn State team, Mark, that I think is a lot like Iowa at this time, although I think, well, you can even put Baldwin up against Peyton Sanford there. They both have an all-Big Ten type player. Both kind of struggling a little bit right now. Both in need of a victory, and something's got to give tomorrow night.
Yeah, I've seen Ace Baldwin be brilliant, and I saw him earlier this year where he just disappeared and ended up sitting out the second half of a game. But he can be a difference maker, and I don't care who Iowa plays now. It's going to be difficult.
Yeah, it is. And if there's a team in the Big Ten that needs a win more than the Hawkeyes, well, probably outside of Bloomington, Indiana, that would be Fran McCaffrey and Iowa. I say that because Northwestern put another nod on Indiana's resume last night. But we were talking yesterday, mainly everyone in the state of Iowa talking about the state of the Iowa basketball, men's basketball program over the last 24 hours, Mark. I will say this, I just find it fascinating and just basically funny to see already people putting together lists. Oh, we got to have a list of possible coaches. And these lists are ridiculous with the people that are populating it out there. You got to think of where coaches are right now, what they have as far as their program is concerned, and what they would give up to come to Iowa City to be a part of the Iowa men's program at this present time. And to me, I just don't see people leaving Power 4 conferences, Power 5 in basketball, and coming to Iowa City. Maybe I'm wrong on that. And the job isn't even open, first of all, but everyone's got their list right now.
It's like a preseason football or basketball pool. It's pretty much meaningless. It makes good copy. It makes conversation. But I'm unwilling to go down that road right now. Listen, some people are pretending that the concern over the Iowa basketball program began in the last 3 games. And in that game against Minnesota at home, that West Coast road trip, the feelings about this Iowa basketball program, unless I'm reading the room wrong, have been there for quite some time between the team, the coach, and trying to put butts in the seats at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And the latter is perhaps the most concerning. And how to get more fans in the seats, I really don't know a great strategy for that. But you can control the team and the coach.
True. 319-366-1600 if you would like to comment on the status of the Iowa men's basketball program here. And this, you mentioned putting butts in the seats, putting students
into Carver Hawkeye Arena. Students will come when it's free, and they get fed. I think we have seen that over the last 10 years. Andrew is shaking his head. You will come when you get fed, right?
Free food and just a free entry to an event. Yeah, of course I'm going to go.
Other than that, no one goes to the men's basketball games. I hate to say that. Is it because of where the students are situated? Well, that is an old reason. I don't know. Students have been there since the dawn of time, basically, at Carver Hawkeye Arena. So I don't think that's the problem because students came before.
It's probably one, the temperature, the distance between where they live and the stadium. They may not have a car.
We walked in the day, man.
But yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people still do, but like if they don't actually live in Iowa City but still want to go to the game, like they'd have to get away down there.
True. But it's putting the first sign, Mark, that things are not going well is attendance. And that is where we are at right now. Now, putting that into perspective, Carver Hawkeye Arena, other than a few select games against nationally rated teams, on the men's side has not been full very often. And that is not only an Iowa problem, I will say that, unless you are, throw Ames out of the equation here because they're going to come to Hilton Coliseum, and yes, Iowa State is winning, and that certainly helps. But they've been coming for a long, long time. They are conditioned. Right now, the typical Iowa Hawkeye fan is not conditioned anymore to go to Iowa men's basketball games for whatever reason that may be. And it's been that way for the last 15 to 20 years. You go back to the Licklider era, all the way through, even Fran's better teams did not sell out Carver Hawkeye Arena that often. They did a few times. With Luca Garza, with Chris and Keegan, with Peter Jock, with others. They did have sellouts occasionally, but the 7,000 to 8,000 for a November or December non-conference game has been there in quite a while. And for now, the off-time games on an off day of the week, people just don't come. There are a lot more things to do now as well than there were 20 years ago for young parents out there. I will say that as well. It's a perfect storm of everything. So now you're faced with getting top-line recruits. You're faced with having a winning program. And if those things are not met, well, people are going to find other things to do.
I think it's high time we quit blaming the students and look further into the product. Now, we can talk about where the students are situated, but I believe student ticket sales are sold out this year. They only constitute 1,500 to 2,000 seats in the arena, a 10th or 15% of the arena. What about the other 85 to 90%? That's you, me, and others. And there's no age limit on making noise. Some of the problem is you can't stand up in Carver Hawkeye Arena without getting yelled at. Sit down. I'm trying to watch the game type thing. The more I think you have to look at the students, I don't think are the problem. Again, I think where they're situated, arguably, maybe. But it's the rest of us that are the problem. And why don't people go to the game? Variety of reasons. Number one is the return on your investment.
I would agree. We've got a litany on the text line of reasons why people are not coming. It's from all the games are on TV, parking, start times, apathy. All these are valid excuses and valid reasons, I think, why attendance is not there. Cyclone Tim also put weighing in that, yes, it's not helping Iowa's cause that Iowa State has been playing so well, other than the 2020 debacle of Steve Prohm, which I don't think was all Steve's fault, but that's a whole different subject and a whole different show for us. A lot of this started the parking situation. I'm not going to say that is low on my list because people walk, and granted, it usually is better weather for Saturdays in football. They walk much longer than it is to go from the parking lot north of Carver Hawkeye Arena or wherever you choose to park to go to Carver. Yeah, it's less of a walk. So I'm not inclined to really jump on board. The old days of 7 o'clock Thursday and Saturdays are over. We know that. Welcome in, 8:30 Friday nights. That they had a couple times last year. 8 o'clock Friday night, which comes up tomorrow night. That is not helping the equation. And as Rod says, men's basketball just feels very stale at this time. Apathy has set in. Fans get tired of watching the same issues every season. Lack of defense, bad rebounding, it's stale. All these reasons are very valid, Mark.
Well, you can go down every reason, Scott. You can talk about the times. You can talk about the parking. You can talk about the weather. The same issues are true in Ames. What's the difference? And Ames, Iowa State is convenient because it's in the same state. Iowa State's having a terrific year. So maybe it's an outlier, maybe not. People show up at Hilton. Why? Because they're entertained and it's a better product. Plain and simple.
True. I've been to both venues and it's not even close. I mean, Iowa State, people, it is a party. And you go to Carver, it is not a party. It is very little spirit of the band playing. There's a lot of, and I get it. You got to sell the product, Mark. I understand that, but it's totally two different situations. Two different situations. People talking about Mark, you nailing it. It is church-ish at Carver Hawkeye. I don't think it's as bad as it once was, but there are still times. Yes. When you run into the right person that will yell at people that are standing up, getting behind the team. And that's kind of been the knock on Carver ever since it was built after the Iowa Fieldhouse, which was a party, Mark.
Yeah, you didn't care if your seat was behind a beam, and I had a couple of those seats even when I was in the media covering a game there. It was an antiquated facility, but it had character and it had excitement. And that was a long time ago. So it's hardly comparable. But what is true at Carver Hawkeye Arena is plain and simple. People want to be entertained these days. And whether it's the team or the atmosphere, it's clearly lacking in Iowa City.
60-56, these are all excuses versus reasons. For me, it's because I've seen this movie before. I know how it's going to end. Now, my question now to our listeners, Mark, is this. Does a new coach change all this? Just by naming, let's just say, play devil's advocate, let's just say there's a change. Does the atmosphere at Carver change? Does everything change with a new coach coming in? Or is it going to be the same Carver Hawkeye Arena? Is it going to be the same 5,000 people there? And good luck to the next coach coming in.
If that coach competes for a Big Ten championship, I got to believe the attendance will increase.
But how long are you going to give them?
I don't know. How long have you given Fran McCaffrey?
It's been a while. And he's had good teams. Fran has done a lot of good things. A lot of good things. I still remember people being all over him when he brought Chris and Keegan Murray aboard. after the year at prep school or at prep school down in Florida, saying that it was just a waste of scholarships. That turned out pretty good. I mean, Luka Garza turned out pretty good. Fran has done a good job in the portal. He's gotten guys that have helped. They needed to get a big this year. They didn't get a big this year. And I think they're paying the price for that as far as the post defense is concerned.
He's done okay in the portal. He hasn't knocked it out of the park.
You're right. He hasn't knocked it out of the park, but Thelwell was a good pickup this year. Rabracha was a good pick. He's had others as well. And they've helped.
There's a lot of things on Fran's resume that you have to like. I mean, he's graduated 100% of his athletes. That's pretty good. In his career, he's taken four teams to an NCAA tournament. That's good. What has he done at Iowa? Is it unreasonable to expect a Big Ten championship in 15 seasons? I know he won a Big Ten tournament championship in 2022, but again, third place, three times, the best that he's done. If that's good enough, fine. But I think a lot of people expect a whole lot more, especially when you reside in 11th place this season.
Yeah.
And once again, that's about the expectations that most people had for this team.
Winning does cure all evil, Greg. you are correct. And the women's games were full because of CC and number 22. Well, she had a big part of it. 319-366-1600. And we're going to get Kevin Lehman's thoughts on this, the coach, with our Off the Glass segment. We're going to do that coming up in just a little bit. And a lot of people talking about the non-conference schedule at home as well. And that is not probably ever going to get better with the quad system, to be brutally honest with you. If there is going to be a very good non-conference game other than Iowa State, it's probably going to be in one of those cross-conference challenges. Other than that, they're going to play those things at neutral sites, and you're going to have to go to Sioux Falls or Chicago or Kansas City or wherever the case may be. They just don't play those games very often home and home anymore. And it's a sad, sad thing. And don't get me started on UNI and Drake. That would be a good non-conference game for both Iowa and Iowa State. All right, Mark, we got to get – go ahead.
Go ahead. The one thing that is possible in basketball is it's much easier to turn a program around with the transfer portal these days if you get the right guys. Again, look what Otzelberger's done. Look what other teams in the country have done. You know, they flip a switch with the acquisitions in the transfer portal. I'm not suggesting that's the best way to go about things, but it's quite easier to do that in basketball than it is in football.
And it is not totally an Iowa problem as far as attendance is concerned. College basketball attendance is down. Big Ten basketball attendance is down. Minnesota right now can't draw flies. Now, they are toward the bottom of the Big Ten. Maryland is way down as far as their attendance is concerned. Other places also, likewise, very much down. I don't know. And again, it's various reasons why. You can name them all, and a lot of our listeners, they're great. They have named them all, especially in Iowa City, but that goes, a lot of those go around the country as well. We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman coming up, Mark, but I need to get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update first. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot behind Johnson Fitness. Their menu is online at emilshideaway.com. They're a classic local American restaurant, and you can get curbside pickup delivery or just go in and see Jamie and Chris and everybody at Emil's, and we'll have the pick six coming up tomorrow, the latest edition. What we got today?
Iowa 133-pounder Drake Ayala has been named Big Ten Co-Wrestler of the Week after his 4-2 victory over second-ranked Lucas Byrd of Illinois in the last meet out. The Hawkeyes, of course, will face Ohio State on Saturday. As you know, Scott, golf, as we both know, golf can be fickle. Zach Johnson finished first round of the Farmers Insurance Open in San Diego yesterday with a 6-under par 66, good for a tie for fourth place. Today he's playing the more difficult, and today a very windy south course. Zach is 5-over par on his round through 14 holes trying to rescue his round. The Associated Press has released the finalists for NFL awards, and Iowa's Cooper DeJean of the Eagles is one of five players in line for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Interesting story out of the Wall Street Journal. It has published a report by an Indiana University professor on the value of college football teams. It is based on adjusted revenue and cash flow. Ohio State is number one, valued at $1.96 billion, with a B. Iowa is 18th, valued at $640 million, and Iowa State 41st at $324 million. And finally, a Nebraska fan was disappointed in the Cornhuskers' loss to USC last night, but got a great consolation prize. During one of the timeouts, he sank a 94-foot putt through a small opening and a cardboard cutout to win a 2024 Porsche valued at $75,000. It is unclear if taxes were included.
They have that in various places as well. I'll say that in Iowa City.
I was just going to chime in. Like,
they don't get a Porsche.
But I'm also like, did they take it away from him? Like that PS5 kid? Like right away afterwards, like, yeah, this is just a promotion thing. You're not actually going to get this. We're going to give you like a $10 gift card to somewhere else.
I don't know. Did you ever get a chance to do that, Andrew? Or do anything?
Not like that, no, but okay. I've watched it happen at games.
Okay. You should try it. They should pick you.
I would probably go far off to one side and not even close to getting it where it needed to go.
As long as you get a applause from the 3,000 or 4,000 there, you're fine. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. Our Thursday staple, our Off the Glass segment. Stay tuned for it. Coming up when we return right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
A bit of a colder day will be on the way for us out there today. Fortunately, we'll have a little more sunshine, which should help facilitate a little bit more of that melting from some of that snow that we picked up yesterday, with highs into the middle teens. Then skies will stay clear overnight, allowing for temperatures to drop down near negative 2 degrees. A few more clouds will be in the area as we head into Friday, but overall temperatures will continue to warm the way back on up into those at least upper 20s, and we'll only continue to see more warming on the way, especially as we head into the weekend, with temperatures expecting to get above freezing by Saturday, and even warmer temperatures will be back on the way by early next week. I'm meteorologist Garrett Hyde, and that was a check of your latest Iowa's News Now weather first. Forecast.
Life's busy and Quick Start gets it. Whether you're grabbing fresh coffee, a bakery treat, or a quick meal, Quick Start is your go-to for quality and fast service. From clean restrooms to fresh groceries, easy meal options, and guaranteed fuel, we make your day easier. Plus, enjoy perks like free ATMs, free air for your tires, and sweet rewards with the Quick Rewards program. Everything you need in one stop and always a friendly see you next time. Quick Start, where your day gets easier and better.
I'm Chris Shooter Lehman. The nickname has followed me from my college basketball days. Lifelong Iowa City resident and the youngest of nine, I've been involved in real estate for the past 25 years. I have extensive experience in both residential and income investment property. That gives me a definite edge in guiding you through today's changing market. I will guide you through the process and you can make informed decisions.
Chris Shooter Lehman with Edge Realty Group. Email shooter at edge-realtygroup.com.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Ugh, leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
It's a key ingredient called Tesnor. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. Total T is backed by five clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text LION to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total Tea. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone-boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever. Absolutely free. Text LION to 321-321. That's LION to 321-321.
3:34, back with you on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. It's a Thursday. That means it is time for our Off the Glass segment. It is brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. And he also handles the corridor, all the communities up and down the corridor, as well as Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. And he usually has a nice background story when he passes you the ball, Kevin. But today he's just wishing you a happy, happy birthday coming up next week. Happy birthday to you early.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. And I appreciate that from Chris Shooter Lehman also. Well, I'm actually down here, like I told you guys, have a rare weekend off with no games. So took a little quick trip to the Florida Keys. Minus 14 when I flew out at Des Moines Airport Monday morning.
What is the temperature in the Keys right now?
Not what I had hoped. It's around 65. We were hoping to be around 75, but I think the sun's going to pop up tomorrow, guys.
Nice, nice. Pour one out for Jimmy Buffett when you're down there.
Yes. And Mike Leach, he also loved the Keys.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. Two great, great people that we have lost recently. All right, Kevin, before we talk on the court basketball, and I guess this is on the court basketball as well, but we've been talking the last couple days ever since the Minnesota game on Tuesday night. People have suddenly got a lot of negative things pent up, I think, about this Iowa men's basketball program. Where it is right now, where it could go, does it need to go in a different direction? All valid questions, and I guess the only thing that's going to change a lot of these questions is a 35-point victory tomorrow night against Penn State, right?
Well, and also, if you're going to play Penn State, you're dealing with Ace Baldwin. That's going to be a handful for the Hawks. And I can even feel those vibes way down here in the Keys that are not going well for Iowa basketball, especially that trip to the West Coast, USC and UCLA. And then you come home, Minnesota, the bottom league in the conference has you down by 17. Not good for the Hawks. Because we thought they had a stretch here where four or five at home, including that Minnesota game, that they could make a little hay, so to speak, and get themselves on the right side of the ship. But boy, losing that game at Minnesota got people asking a lot of questions about this program. As you mentioned, what direction is it heading?
Kevin, a lot of people weighing in today and yesterday on reasons for the lack of attendance. Scott was there the other night, reported maybe 2,500 to 3,000, even though unannounced attendance of 8,000. Everything from times to parking to weather. We've seen a lot of games in 40 years over Carver Hawkeye Arena. And, we talked about the students as well. As you've observed things here, do any of the reasons seem more valid than the product that's out on the court?
Well, I think we've already had a comparison that the fans do come out to watch the women's team in that same type of environment, same weather, late starts, you name it, and they'd come out to see that team play. So I think it's, you get some fan fatigue going on right now with Iowa, and we've seen the same thing over and over. Really good team offensively, but if you look at those their stats, analytics, they just have not guarded people, have not rebounded the ball well. I think depth is an issue this year with this team, and I think we're seeing it right now. I think what's hard for you feel bad for the players because one of the things that energizes you when you come home and you get that fan base behind you. We saw, the comeback win against Nebraska, which is great. They did to Indiana. Players thrive off of that fan base. If that's not behind you, that just makes it that much tougher. I listen to Peyton Sanford's post-game comments against Minnesota. I'm like, I'm not sure if Peyton Sanford believes in what he's telling the press right now that this team is going to pull together and get going. He had some doubt in his voice.
Well, if they are going to do that, they better start tomorrow night.
They got a nice stretch because you got Penn State, then you go to Ohio State, then you got Purdue, Wisconsin at home. So the stretch was really good for them here. But you're exactly right. Penn State's a team. You cannot lose that one home after dropping the one to the Gophers. But, you know, Ace Baldwin is – this guy's averaging just under 7 assists a game. And we know that quick guards have been a problem for the Hawks. I think Drew Thelwell has helped that situation. But they have to keep him under control. And they got some, you know, big frontline guys in Niederhausen, Kern up front for the Nittany Lions. So it's Big Ten basketball, guys. There's no easy games in this league.
Kevin, I wanted to get your opinion on Fran McCaffrey. You know his career resume, and you know his Iowa resume. Some people feel he's not as passionate as he seemingly once was. Maybe he just projects that with the hands in the pocket and that sort of thing. You've seen him a lot. What do you think?
Well, I think you make some good point, Mark, because everybody looks at body language and tries to, you know, figure out what's really going on in that coach's head. And of course, when he was getting technicals, being demonstrative, throwing chairs, chasing officials up the hallway, then we said he was too passionate. Now we're saying he's not passionate enough. As you guys know, if you win, it cures all those problems. If you don't win, those things come out. And it's a new world, Mark, that we're living in with name, image, and likeness, because I guarantee you the first question that gets asked now, if you are hunting for a new coach, what is your NIL package? How much money do I have? What is my salary cap, so to speak? And that's an area I think if you talk to people on the program, Iowa is – behind, I would say, probably middle or second or the bottom half of the Big Ten as far as NIL money.
Well, I would say probably somewhere between 10 and 15 in the 18-team Big Ten. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing with that, Scott. You hear all those numbers and you don't know what the reality is. That's the problem with NIL and what players are getting, how much these teams have. There's so many rumors out there, and there's no written contracts that we've seen have been publicized, so you're kind of going word of mouth, like the $2 million that Coleman Hoffman's getting at Kansas State. We don't know if he's really getting $2 million or not. We saw that with the quarterback at UNLV. He was supposed to get, $100,000, and he got, like, $3,000 payment. So that's what's one of the major issues with this NIL is there are no written contracts. A lot of rumors and a lot of agents blowing numbers up because it makes the agents look good. But I think you're right, Scott. They're not anywhere near probably the top half in this league.
No.
Kevin, the one positive I think that came out of the Minnesota game was Seydou Traore. And Iowa fans have been waiting for him to come along. I know he's had an injury issue or two, but he was the only one with plus numbers in that game.
Yeah, you look, you know, Price Sanford struggled off the bench for him. Dembele really hasn't given him a lot since Iowa State game, a couple games after that. Because I think I text you, you know, just not a lot of depth on the front line for this Iowa team. And you get Big Ten play, you got to have depth, you got to have physicality. It's always been known as a physical team. I don't know if this is a real physical team. If you don't make threes at home, which they did not against Minnesota, that's a problem for Iowa Hawkeye team because they've got to make threes. And certainly got to make him at home. But I think the thing with Traore is why he struggled earlier. Obviously, the ankle injury, Mark, but also, you know, he doesn't really offensively fit in with what Fran likes with the ability to guys to stretch defense and shoot threes. You know, he's more of a attack the basket, rebound, make some plays on defense type guy. But I think he's got to get some big minutes. They need some help somewhere. They need a spark, is what they need, whether it's going to come from Thelwell. Traore, Sanford, the Sanford brothers, somebody's got to give them a little extra oomph.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us at 3:44. It is our Off the Glass segment here, brought to you by Chris Lehman at Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. Well, let's talk about the Big Ten. You asked a question of us, and that is, who is the best team in the Big Ten Conference right now. We're not up to the halfway point, but we're inching our way there. Do we throw out Michigan State? I am, and I'm not even sure I would pick Michigan State. I think the team that scares people the most is Illinois.
I'm still with you on this, Scott. I think when they're healthy, they have the biggest upside. I think they do, and I like the way that Underwood coaches. But, you know, we always talk about Tom Izzo this time of year. He usually gets them going. And I think you got to keep an eye on Purdue also. And the only other team I like, guys, is Michigan. I think Michigan, with those bigs in there, those 2 7-footers, they could be a problem down the stretch. But I think we're starting to see some separation. The reason I threw that one out there, I think we're starting to see that line demarcation. Is it after Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue, Illinois? Is there separation there? That's what I'm starting to see. 7 games in, 13 left.
Mark, who do you like?
I'm with you, you guys. I mean, I think you can't ever discount Izzo and Michigan State. I think Illinois is extremely dangerous. I think Michigan is, I don't know. I don't trust them, so to speak. But I think those two teams, as you guys nailed it, I would say at this point, for sure. Kevin, I was going to ask you about Iowa State. Cyclones, not surprisingly, bounced back from that loss at West Virginia. Now it goes out to Arizona. What should fans expect out of ASU and Arizona?
Well, I think the most dangerous team right now is the next one, which is Arizona State, because it's the one you might tend to look past. I thought they were going to have problems at West Virginia. Tough place to play. I've called games in there. You knew that Darren DeVries would have them ready. But Arizona State's with Bobby Hurley coaching. I would say, you know, a team I don't trust, but a team that's dangerous. Because Arizona right now, guys, is really playing well. I think they got knocked off in the last game, but the Arizona team's kind of got it. They're finally trying to get their wheels underneath them right now. But if they get through that swing, Mark, I think they're in pretty good shape, because then you got Kansas State at home. You know, the big game in the Big 12 coming up this weekend is going to be Houston in Allen Fieldhouse against a Kansas team that's starting to play really well, especially at the defensive end.
Yeah, nice win against TCU last night. And that is not an easy place to play in, against Jamie Dixon's team. I think Iowa State will be fine against Arizona State. I'm worried, and I think Cyclone fans should be worried about Arizona. It's even with a loss at the McHale Center, it's nothing to hang your hat on or hang your head, you know, after if you do lose. But it's going to be a really short turnaround. I mean, that's a Monday night game after a Saturday game on the road. That is going to be tough.
Well, at least he doesn't have to see the Statue of Liberty a number of times, like Mick Cronin has complained about in the Big Ten when he goes to Arizona. Get some. It might be nice to get down and get some warm weather for Iowa State. Of course, now they're trying to make some adjustments without Mitrovic in the lineup. So keep that in mind. The guy who stretches the D, that's the problem they had at West Virginia for the Cyclones, couldn't make enough threes to beat the Mountaineers.
Not surprisingly, Badger fan Greg and Epworth weighing in. What about Wisconsin and the guard play? Come on.
Well, as you said, there's some teams you just don't trust. I think the Badgers are one. I like them, but I don't trust them for the next 13 games to come out. And I can't see them finishing the top 4 in the Big Ten.
I think they could finish 3rd or 4th. I think they can. I am done. I don't think disrespecting is the right term, but just underestimating Greg Gard.
We do it every year, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Every year in the preseason polls we do, and we talk about in December when he gets them rolling. And they've changed their style of play. That's the amazing thing about this Badger team. They've changed the way that they play, and they've had success doing it.
Sure have.
Hey, how about this one, guys? AJ Storr actually starting to do something. The Jayhawks, the former Wisconsin Badger.
Helping out a little bit. Don't look now, but Drake and Bradley have just as good as or better with their net rankings than a certain team we've been talking about in the last couple days. Both with 17 wins. They're both going to end up at about 20, 24-25 wins if they both get, and even more if they get to the Valley Championship game down at Arch Madness. But as you said, Joe Lunardi right now with his at-large bids, there are 37 at-large bids, and the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12 are projected to take 27 of them right now.
Yeah, we had the conference call. Every Wednesday we have the production conference call with our ESPN brass. You know, there's like 600 to 700 people on that Zoom call, and Lunardi was one of the guests yesterday. And when he said that, I'm like, are you kidding me? Those three leagues. Now think about this. There's, you know, 37 at-large bids, 31 automatic qualifiers. SEC is projected, what, 11 or 12 bids? Big Ten, 10 or 11 bids. Big 12, I think looking at eight. 27 of those 37 at-large bids are going to go to those teams is what he's projected right now. And I thought, you know, what a – you're picking up – you're looking for crumbs if you're the – and we're talking about the ACC, the Big East – with those other teams, Mount West trying to grab a couple bids, A-10 maybe trying to hoping to get two. The Valley's got no shot, guys. It's kind of what it came down to. Other than once you get past those top, what, eight leagues, everybody else a one-bid league, which is kind of a sad state of affairs for college basketball, because I think what you're seeing is, you know, the hot teams like Drake playing really well, they don't win the conference tournament, they're going to be NIT.
We talked about body language of coaches, Kevin. How long before Dan Hurley's body language is going to backfire on him?
I think it already has in some respects because he's getting a lot of national pub for what's going on here. What this last one was, the official walked away from me. He said, "I'm the best coach in this game. Don't turn away from me or don't." I can't remember what the exact. Somebody was lip reading what he said. Don't turn your back on me, I think is what they thought he said. Understand, this is a guy now that his wife, remember in the NCAA tournament, she would do his underwear every day, so he had wore the same pair of underwears every game.
True. Yeah. So, well, winning.
I found this out in this business as a broadcaster. Those guys that are really good have some strange quirks about them. Very strange quirks.
Winning cures all evils, though, doesn't it?
No question. No question. And like if the Hawks get on a little run here, guys, they'll start with Penn State. Maybe get a win at Ohio State, and you come back home with Purdue, and then we'll be having a different tune on these next ones, on these next sessions we have next Thursday.
A girlfriend teasing you again, Kevin, or what?
No, not after that trip to the West Coast. Not at all.
It's interesting that Houston top of the Big 12 right now, but there are a lot of people that are not on the Houston bandwagon right now. They don't have a big time victory at this present time. You mentioned the Kansas game, Iowa State's coming up, but not till next month. Yeah, this is still a good Houston team for Samson.
It is interesting. We look at the metrics; they're predicting them as a 4 seed, which surprised me. But I don't know the style of play. What it is, I'm not sure what they're. Remember they got beat, not at home, was it Auburn that came in and beat them in a game in Houston?
Yeah, that was Auburn.
In December? Yeah. So I don't. I haven't looked at their non-conference, what they've done in that. Because I'm kind of surprised their metrics aren't giving them a better, what we're seeing as a projected seed right now. But, you know, I tell you what's happened with NIL guys and transfer portal. Some of these leagues with money, the Big 12, SEC, you know, there's a real separation in talent. Did you watch those games last night? I mean, I finally got a chance since I don't have a game for a while to actually watch last night's game. We had the 3 Florida at South Carolina, and then we came back with A&M winning at Ole Miss. I mean, there's some dudes that can play in those teams.
Yeah, the SEC is loaded. Big 12, the Big 10. I think the Big Ten, I don't know. They all got dudes. They all got big-time players. And Buzz Williams, if they get a good draw, I could see A&M going a long way.
I'm watching these games. Oh, the other ones, yeah, Kansas, TCU. I'm like, there's some players. I mean, unbelievable way those, especially SEC. I mean, those guys, they got guys. It's a transition game the entire time. If you can't defend in transition in the SEC, you're going to get steamrolled.
Very true. That Kentucky-Alabama game may have been the game of the year last Saturday. So, and they both got over 100, I think. And it was fun to watch. Have a good time down at the Keys, man.
Yeah, I'll be back in that cold weather before I know it. I forgot to ask you guys, what is the temperature right there in the gym class studios?
In the studio, it's, 65 right now. So we're about where you are.
You need some space heaters in that place.
Right.
Spray on insulation.
Kevin, thanks, man. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Kevin Lehman, the coach, in our Off the Glass segment brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. Quick break. Come back. Wrap things up with a bowling night in America. Wrap up for you after this.
Get more of the NFL with NFL Plus and start streaming more touchdowns, more hurdles, more action.
Just a tremendous play.
NFL Plus has you covered. Stream the NFL postseason and Super Bowl 56 live on mobile.
He's in! Touchdown!
Plus, stay connected throughout the offseason with special coverage of the NFL Scouting Combine, NFL Draft, and more.
Let's go! Yeah!
Subscribe today at plus.nfl.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Bay City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, Bay City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at Bay City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
And it was a Bowling Night in America, and this wrap-up brought to you by Bay City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America, and a happy Bowling Night in America for at least one team last night.
Yeah, very solid night for the Rusty Nails, beating Durline Scale 20-10. Durline, one of the top teams annually in the league, and very solid win for the old Nails. And it has moved up into fifth place in the 14-team adult Evergreen League.
There you go. With a long way to go.
About 12 weeks to go, yeah. But Austin Summer had a nice night, sweeping high game and series, 288-768.
Yeah, great job by Austin. He had a nice night. And I believe the first – I don't know if this is true, but I know our friend Isaac Dixon had a 700 last night as well. So yeah. That was good to see, and he had one of the higher games. Obviously, when you could throw a 700, you're going to have high games. So good job by all last night, and we will go at it again next Wednesday. And if you want to stop by the pro shop, you can do that, and you can also inquire about open bowling. They've got that out there. Give them a call.
Absolutely. Number is 362-0136, and a lot of information on the website. MayCityBowlCR.com.
Yeah. Thanks to all of the listeners for the great interaction today. Appreciate it. We're going to reconvene tomorrow. We're going to talk about the divisional playoffs. Look ahead to the basketball weekend, Iowa and Penn State. Did I say divisional? I meant the championship playoffs. We'll have those for you on Sunday right here on 1600 ESPN. Mark, have a great night. We'll talk tomorrow.
You got to talk then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear.